Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Got a bit of a hot mic this morning. See if I can fix that so I'm not blasting you out. All right, welcome. It is day 442 of our three-year journey through God's Word, and we have come back to the Psalms. And when we go to the Psalms, usually we pick up several at a time. So today it's Psalms 65 through 67. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help as we look to this portion of His Word today. Heavenly Father, we love You and thank You. We bless You for Your goodness to us. We ask that You would write Your Word on our hearts. Help us to see You. Help us to draw close to You. Help us to trust You. Help us to rejoice in You. Help us to worship You through Your Word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to take these one at a time. So Psalm 65 is written to the choir master. It is a psalm of David. It is a song. Praise is due to You, O God, in Zion, and to You shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to You all flesh shall come. When iniquities prevail against me, You atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one You choose and bring near to dwell in Your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Your house, the holiness of Your temple. By awesome deeds You answer us, with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. The one who by His strength established the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe of Your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so You have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with Your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. In this psalm, we move from the gathering together of God's people to worship Him to the creation and to the blessing of God on His people in their daily lives in the world. So the first stanza here, verses 1 through 4, very much are filled with verbs describing the acts of public worship, praising God, performing your vows before God, praying to God, atonement being made for sin and transgression, being brought near to dwell in the courts of God, being satisfied with the goodness of Your house, the holiness of Your temple. So these are all, this is a picture of how good it is, how wonderful it is for we as God's people to be able to gather together and worship Him. And all that we do in worship is really one central focus, and that is that we would draw near to God and we would be blessed by God. Now, what keeps us from being able to draw near to God is our iniquity, our sin, our transgression. But God atones for that. And instead, He answers us with righteousness. So He atones for our transgressions and He answers our need with righteousness. Now, how has God done that? David's writing this, of course, 1,000 years before Jesus. The fulfillment of that is pictured in the gathering of worship among God's people. This particular psalm may have been written for the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, or it could have been written for the Feast of the Final Ingathering. It has some harvest language in the second half of the psalm. But this making atonement, that God makes atonement for our transgressions. You see, in temple worship, the worshiper brings the sacrifice. The worshiper offers up the animal. But here it says, when iniquities prevail against me, you atone. God atones for our transgressions. And then verse 5, by awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our Yeshua, O God of our salvation, which is the same name as Jesus. So that's how God answers us. He makes atonement. He makes atonement for us on the cross. He answers us with the righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, God becomes the hope of all the ends of the earth. The gospel goes out to all the earth, to every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And then there's blessing that flows. Once our sins are atoned for, once we're reconciled to God and we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we are blessed by God. And this blessing is expressed in Psalm 65 in terms of an abundant harvest, because it's an agricultural society and it's all about planting crops and receiving good from God. But there is goodness that overflows from God. This is an abundant picture of goodness. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. You just picture so much rain coming at just the right time so that it makes the conditions just right so that there's an abundant harvest and everyone is singing and shouting for joy. There's flocks and herds that cover the hillside like clothing, and it's just an abundant blessing. Now, what does this mean? Well, this means that God reconciles us to himself and covers us with the righteousness of Christ because he wants us to enjoy fellowship with him and a right relationship with him. And out of that right relationship comes abundant blessing. We are greatly blessed by the Lord every day, and we have so much to be thankful for. And so we should look around and we should notice we have been so blessed by God, and we should rejoice. We should sing and shout for joy because God had every reason to condemn us for our sins, to separate us from him forever in hell, to withdraw from us every grace, every goodness, every kindness. But instead, he atones for our transgressions, he covers us with righteousness, and then he blesses us with abundance. And for all of this, we should be exuberant in our praise and in our thanksgiving. Now, Psalm 66, to the choir master, a song, a psalm. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living, and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats, Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Amen. That's Psalm 66. So Psalm 65 focuses on how God makes atonement for us to forgive our sins, our trespasses, and iniquities, how he covers us with righteousness, and then how he abundantly blesses us. This is another song of praise. It's also written for public worship. We know that because it's written to the choir master. This is really about how God brings us through trials, through tribulation, through difficulty, through oppression, and then he brings us through into a place of abundance. There are enemies. There are enemies of God, and there are enemies of God's people. And that reality is addressed in Psalm 66. Not only are we alienated from God because of our sins that need to be atoned for and then covered with righteousness so we can be reconciled to God, but God has enemies that oppose his name and that oppose his people. And sometimes we rebel against God when we shouldn't. And so we go through hard times. Sometimes the hard times we go through because of the enemies of God. And sometimes the hard times we go through are because of our own stubbornness. But whatever the cause, we always have reason to praise God because he's always good. His name is always worthy to be praised. His name is glorious. He deserves glorious praise. He is awesome in his deeds. He's able to subdue his enemies so that they come cringing to him. And he brings us through difficult times. Turns the sea into dry land. They pass through the river on foot. That's a reference to both the passing through of the Red Sea and the passing through of the Jordan River. So two lines there. He turned the sea into dry land. That's passing through the Red Sea. They passed through the river on foot. That's passing through the Jordan River as they went into the Promised Land. So what did God do? He brought his people out of bondage, out of slavery in the land of Egypt. He brought them into the wilderness where they were tried and tested because of their failure. They were disciplined, and then he brought them into the Promised Land. All that's reflected in just those two lines in verse 6. And so this same kind of thing gets repeated in the life experience of God's children. God brings us in the definitive act of redemption. God brings us out of the house of bondage, out of the house of slavery, our slavery to sin, our bondage to the fear of death. Language that Jesus uses in John 8 and Hebrews uses in Hebrews 2. God brings us out of that into a right relationship with him, but sometimes we rebel, or sometimes we have to deal with enemies, and so there can be a wilderness wandering and a testing and trial, but through that, God keeps us. If we are his, if we belong to him, if he's called us by name and we are his, then he brings us through those trials. He keeps our soul. He doesn't let our foot slip. He tests us. He tries us. How is silver tried? Silver is tried by going through fire, right? Sometimes we're brought into a net. Sometimes we have a crushing burden put on our backs. So all these images are pretty strong. Like, we pass through fire. We're brought into a net. We're trapped and ensnared. We're overwhelmed with a heavy burden. Even so far as to say, you let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, and yet, there's that great word, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. When God puts his people through trial, when God puts his people through hard times, it is always for our eternal spiritual good. We may not see that even in this life, but we will always be brought out into a place of abundance, even if that place is with God in all of eternity. And so, as we experience that in our lives, and I think each one of us who are believers can look back on times when we've experienced that, been through trial, been through hardship, been through difficulty, God's brought us out to a place of abundance. As we've experienced that, we should invite other people to come and hear our testimony. Come and hear. I will tell you what he's done for my soul. And we rejoice together in God, and we bless the name of the Lord for his goodness to us. All right, our last one, Psalm 67, to the choir master, with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Here, a theme that has been in Psalm 65 and 66 is brought to the foreground and is made even more explicit in Psalm 67, and that is, when God blesses his people, he does so so that his way may be known on the earth and among all nations. God blesses us so that the nations may be glad and sing for joy. We had this theme at the beginning of Psalm 66. It talked about all the earth, and all the earth sings praises to you. They sing praise to your name. It's an invitation to all the world to do that. And we also had this in Psalm 65, that the God of our salvation is the hope of the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. And so the final step in this three-part movement through these three psalms is that not only are we blessed, right? Much of the verse 6 here, the earth has yielded its increase, God our God shall bless us, that echoes back to Psalm 65 and that abundant harvest, right? Why? Because God wants to be known to the ends of the earth. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. So if I could summarize the movement of these three psalms, it looks like this. God's people should gather together and worship him because he made atonement for our transgressions and our iniquity. He covered us. He answered us with his righteousness in Jesus. He's the God of our salvation. And not only that, but he's abundantly blessed us with so many good things in life. And even though we go through trials and we go through hard times, and even though those trials and hard times can feel overwhelming, like we're passing through fire and water and men are just trampling over our backs, we're face down in the dirt, it's always for our good. And God always brings us out of that into a place of abundance. And so we can ask God to, again, be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, because we want to tell the world about how great our God is. We want every nation, we want every people, we want the ends of the earth to know how awesome God is, how great his atonement is, how perfect his righteousness is, how faithful and abundant his blessings are, how wise he is in bringing us through trials, how much we can trust him, and how much we ought to praise him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these three psalms. Such an encouragement, such a reminder of the gospel and the truth of who you are and who we are before you and what we're called to be about in this world. Help us to answer this call with joyful hearts, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, and that we might share your goodness and your greatness with a world in need. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for Psalms 65 to 67. We're going to be jumping back to 2 Samuel tomorrow. Hope you can join me for that. As always, have a blessed day in the Lord.